This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Always, forever, we begin by praising Allah. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We testify there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send our greetings and our salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious and his pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, the last Jumu'ah of Ramadan. Whether Eid is on Wednesday or Thursday, we're not sure. But definitely this time next week, if Allah grants us to be here, it would be the new month. And the last, as we get towards the end of Ramadan, some of us, I'm sure everyone, we have the feeling of, yes, we are tired. I can see on the faces, everyone is exhausted. We can see on our faces, we're trying to finish whatever khatams. And there's also the feeling of, did I do enough? If this was my last Ramadan, and we know Ramadan, you just need to get one accepted Ramadan. One Ramadan, you do it properly, and it can be your ticket to Jannah. The Nabi ﷺ in a hadith mentions, the reward of Ramadan is greater than the reward of a shaheed, like the heavens and the earth. The difference between the reward of dying a shaheed, and dying normally, but you're having one accepted Ramadan, Ramadan is greater. It's a famous hadith. And if you attain, for example, Laylatul Qadr, all your sins are forgiven. You attain Laylatul Qadr, you have 80 years of ibadah, a lifetime of ibadah. So much up for grabs. And when we compare our deeds, what we've done thus far, do we deserve it? Many of us might feel, I don't deserve it. And there is this paralysis that kind of sets in with this guilt. I haven't done enough. And it's okay. Alhamdulillah, we know from Allah's mercy, the Nabi tells us, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ Many times, Allah looks at points in your life and He rewards you according to the best that you've done. And especially if you end on a high. We used to have many, many stories of people who lived very, very bad lives, but then they die in sajida, or they die making salah, or on hajj. And we say, that's a good sign. It almost covers up 50 years of naughtiness. And so the way you end can cover up for the way we end Ramadan, can make up for maybe the first half or the first 20, 25 days of missing out. So end on a high. End on your high. End on the best that you can do. Alhamdulillah, it's a weekend. And while every night in the last 10 nights can be Laylatul Qadr, even the even nights, if you have to prioritize, you prioritize the odd nights. And if you can't even prioritize all the odd nights, I mean, there's only two odd nights left. But if you had to put all your bets, if you had to hedge your bets, if you had to say, look, it's all or nothing, then the 27th night tomorrow night. If you had to. But ideally, tonight could be Laylatul Qadr, the 27th could be Laylatul Qadr, 28th, 29th. And if Allah grants us, and may grant us this, we have a 30th night of Ramadan. Don't lose focus after the 27th night. Don't get into the Eid mode too early. Let us give it our all. And so today, inshallah, I'll talk a little bit about something that, what do you need? What do I need to push me a little harder at night when I'm exhausted, when you're exhausted, you're working? What do I need to know that will get me out of bed to make that extra 2 rak'ahs of tahajjud? That extra 2, that half an hour or 10 minutes of tahajjud, what do I need to do to motivate myself? Well, there's nothing that motivates us more than Jannah and Jahannam. Because that is what's on the line here. We're not talking about a promotion. We're not talking about a raise. We're not talking about... We're talking about life and death, Jannah and Jahannam, eternity. That's what's up for grabs in these last few nights. And I want to mention a beautiful hadith about Allah's mercy. Because the other thing that motivates us is when we stand in salah and we stand in and we recite our Quran, this is not a competition. We're not trying to convince Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me and enter me into Jannah. Allah wants to enter us into Jannah. Allah wants to give us all these rewards. Allah loves to give the rewards. Allah enjoys it when He over rewards us. And so another thing that motivates you is when you stand in salah and you know who it is that you're making, who are we worshipping, this gives us the feeling of goodness. So I'm going to talk today, inshallah, I'll begin by mentioning the last person that enters Jannah, or the last person to enter, leave Jahannam. So there's a very, hadith which we all know in Sahih Muslim. So we know on the day of Qiyamah, may Allah grant us to meet Allah in a good state on the day of Qiyamah, there will be very, very special people. The best of the best, they will enter Jannah bi ghayri hisab. And we make dua for that. Where even before the questioning begins, Allah says, you people go to Jannah. I'm not even going to question you. You've passed the exam before the questioning, without hisab, without reckoning. That is the best and the highest quality of believer. Very, very few. We make dua that Allah grants us to be amongst them. Ameen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, for those who have an easy hisab, an easy reckoning, their life will be reviewed very quickly and they'll go straight to Jannah. And their time in Qiyamah will not be that long. That's the second batch. Then of course, as things get worse and worse, some will struggle on Qiyamah. Some might be condemned to Jahannam. And then there'll be some who will be long sentences in Jahannam. Some would be condemned to Jahannam for almost an eternity. And when that sentence is given, people will come out. We mentioned this hadith before, where believers will say, Ya Allah, you have given me the reward of Jannah, but there in Jahannam I see a friend of mine. I testify he was a Muslim. We made salah together. I remember in the dunya, we were fasting together. I said, I remember this Buddha. We all fasted. So then these believers will argue with Allah, and Allah will say, now go to Jahannam and fetch them. And so people will be taken out of Jahannam by the believers. We know the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would make intercession for his ummah, and Allah will take out a batch of people. The angels will make intercession. Then what remains in Jahannam is a group of people who have done no good deeds in their life. They have nothing outwardly to show. Now I hope inshallah all of us can say, I can beat that. They will have absolutely nobody of the angels, nobody of the believers, nobody of the anbiya that will vouch for them. So these people here, Ya Allah, I have nothing to say about them. Then Allah will say, the angels have shown their mercy, and the anbiya have shown their mercy, and the believers have been merciful. Now it's time for Arhamar Rahimin, the most merciful, to be merciful. And he will know what's in the hearts of these people. There's a spot on their heart of goodness, an atom's weight of good, some mitigating excuse. Allah will remove this batch from Jahannam. Now imagine yourself, may Allah protect, in Jahannam. Every now and then, in the midst of your torture, you will see the doors of Jahannam opening and the angels bringing someone out. And there's still this hope that I could also get out at some point in time. And years would go on, and then the door would open again and another group will be taken out, until the last man deserving of exiting Jahannam. What is left now is people of the worst kinds of people, who did the worst kinds of sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to this man, after being in Jahannam for an eternity, he wouldn't have been able to even remember the dunya. The angel will say, come, you have been paroled. You are allowed to leave Jahannam. You are allowed to leave Jahannam. And this is the hadith of the last man who exits Jahannam. And then when he is given, he's called, come out of the fire, he will not even be able to walk. He's stumbling. He will walk. And he will stumble, he'll fall back into the fire and burn once again. And then he'll be picked up. He's not even able to walk properly. He'll be taken out of Jahannam. And when he's finally outside the doors of Jahannam, he's outside of it, he's still standing next to it, he can still feel its heat. He will say, Alhamdulillah, Allah, you have saved me. And what you have given me is the greatest reward you've given anybody. This is what I'm feeling here, being outside of Jahannam. Even though he still feels the heat of Jahannam, he's still recovering from the Jahannam. He says, Ya Allah, what I feel now, I'm sure nobody, even the people in Jannah, are not experiencing the goodness that you've given me. And he will just stand there. Allah will say, for you, you are allowed to leave Jahannam. No Jannah for you, but you can exit. So he says, Alhamdulillah, that's it, I just want to get out. And so he's standing outside Jahannam. And after a while he stands there, and Allah knows where is this place he's standing. It's some area. A tree starts to grow. It starts as a plant, and it grows. So we can imagine this is a long period of time until this tree becomes big, and it's far away in the distance. You can see the tree. And so he begins to think, There's shade there. There's coolness under that tree. And this man, who did nothing of good in the dunya, who had, Allah alam, one little thing in his heart that Allah forgave him and entered him, took him out of Jahannam. He hasn't worshipped Allah properly. He did all the sins. He now has the audacity. He says, so he sees this tree and he says, oh Allah, he calls out to Allah, oh Allah, can you please shift me closer to that tree so I may shelter in its shade and I may drink of its water. Please, Ya Allah, I'm asking you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears this man's dua. And Allah says, oh son of Adam, if I were to give you this, you don't deserve this. You were supposed to be in Jahannam eternally. You don't deserve this. But if I give you this, you promise me you're not going to ask me for anything else. And he says, oh Allah, yes, if you give me that, I won't ask for anything else. And so Allah says, Allah will say, you are excused because you are insan. You see something you can't resist. You see something you like, you can't fight that resistance. So Allah says, I'll bring you closer to the tree. And so he stands under this tree and he's happy. And again he feels, Ya Allah, this that I'm feeling, this shade, this sip of water that I haven't drunk in eternity, nobody in the universe has received what I've received now. He feels like the luckiest man created. And over time, he sees another tree grows further away from, even further from Jahannam, more beautiful, more lush. And he says, Ya Allah, now again he's asking Allah, Allah, it's me. Yeah, that guy, I have another request. That tree there, please, can I go there, please? Now I want us, when we stand in tahajjud and we stand in salah, with all our sins, all our mistakes and all our shortcomings, this man, inshallah, you are better than this man. I hope none of us is this person, you know. That we are better than this man. And after all the sins he's done, he still has the audacity to speak to Allah and ask. And then he says, Ya Allah, please, that tree. That tree is bigger, it's nicer, please. So Allah says, oh son of Adam, did you not promise me? You won't address me? Did you not promise that you're not going to ask for anything else after this? You promised. And Allah says, perhaps, and if I give you this one, then you won't ask me again. Then that will be in, you'll be done. And the man says, I promise, Ya Allah, wallahi qasam, I promise, I will never ask you for it. That is all I ever want. And subhanAllah, we can think about this in life, right? How many things we think, if I can just get that promotion, that qualification, that deal, I won't need anything else, Allah. This is the nature of insan. And so he gets, Allah says, no problem, go. And he stands under this much bigger tree, magnificent tree. And he enjoys its shade and its comfort. And he again feels like, Ya Allah, you have given me what you've not given anyone in the ala. Even those people living in Jannatul Firdaus, they are not as happy as I am. And that's the beauty of Allah's reward. The one who gets it, he feels he is the best. And so this happens a few times, another tree and another tree, until he gets to a point where he sees Jannah. He's now standing under a tree and now he gets to see the doors of Jannah. And so he says, Allah, please, please, can I just, I don't want to go in. I just want to stand outside of Jannah. I just want to hear what's in there. And Allah says, how many are you going to ask, O son of Adam? How much are you going to ask of me? But okay, you can't be patient. You've seen something you can't resist. Go, and he stands outside of Jannah. And the minute he gets to Jannah, the gates of Jannah, and he hears the laughter, and he hears the singing, and he hears the talking in Jannah, he doesn't even wait now. He says, Allah, please, I need to get inside here. I can't be outside. I want to get in. Please allow me to enter Jannah. And so then Allah says, oh son of Adam, what will make you stop asking? So then Allah says to him, perhaps if I gave you a Jannah that is 10 times bigger than the universe, you will then stop asking me. So the man, and it's sunnah to smile here. It's sunnah to actually laugh. Because the Sahaba, they would smile and laugh. And they would say, ask me why I'm laughing. It's because the Nabi Sallallahu laughed and smiled when he said this. So when Allah says to him, O son of Adam, so do you want a universe? Do you want a Jannah? 10 times I must let you in Jannah and then give you a Jannah, a garden, a paradise, 10 times bigger than the whole universe. Are you going to be happy then? So the man says, Ya Allah, you are the Lord of the Alameen. Don't be sarcastic with me now. Are you like making a joke of me now? You could have just said no. You could have like just said no. You are the Lord of the Alameen. It's not like befitting of you to promise me, like make a joke out of me. So when he says this, the sunnah is that the Prophet smiles? Because when the man says this, Allah himself smiles. Allah laughs at this man. And Allah says, I'm not making a joke of you. I'm not teasing you. I'm not telling you this. For genuinely, you are going to go into Jannah. And the Jannah you are going to be given is 10 times everything that was in the heavens and the earth. This is the lowest, the worst, the final Jannah. The last plot of Jannah is what this man gets. So now we ask, what is the top part of Jannah? What's it like to be of those who enter early? And those who get Jannatul Firdaus? And those who are in the closest proximity to Jannah? This man genuinely, when he enters his Jannah, which is 10 times the universe that we know, will believe that he is the most blessed. He won't look at anything else in Jannah and feel I'm left out. It took him very long to get there. But for us, inshallah, we hope we beat this man. We hope we get to Jannah before this man. And so when you ask, as the Nabi says, when you ask and you stand in salah, ask as if though believing you will get Jannatul Firdaus. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for an excuse for you to get the highest level of Jannah. He's not looking for you to fail. He's not looking for you to, you didn't do enough salah, so you're not going to get to Jannah. No. Any mitigating reason to give a person Jannah, to give a person the reward, is what Allah wants. As the Nabi says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more reluctant than your own mother to send you into a fire. None of us would ever believe my mom can ever put me in an oven. Impossible. Allah is more reluctant for that. And so this gives you great hope when you stand to know who you are standing and worshipping. And I always end Ramadan, it's almost like a stuck record, but I always end Ramadan because this is what motivates me and perhaps it motivates you. It is when we finally pass through this life and the qabr and the resurrection and the questioning and the crossing over the sirat and all this long journey, and that moment when you made it, you will see the doors of Jannah opening. You'll see it in the distance. And the believers will feel that breeze, and the smell of Jannah is the first thing that you feel, the breeze. And as they enter Jannah, that's when the angels tell you, Salamun alaikum. Tibatum, you worked very hard. You took a long, difficult life to get here. The angels are saying to us, but now there is no more sadness anymore. And there is no more sorrow. There is no more sickness. There is no more anxiety anymore. Everything that you worried about is over. You only have happiness. And then you enter Jannah. And what is Jannah? If for everyone else, different things inspire you, motivates you. The thing that, of the things, for example, in Surah Yasin, يَوْمَ فِي شُغَلٍ فَاكِهُونَ, Allah says they will be so occupied and busy. Shughal is your job. Shughal is something that you don't like. Shughal is my shughal, what keeps me, like, you know, all the time occupies me. Allah says their shughal is fun. يَوْمَ فِي شُغَلٍ فَاكِهُونَ, they will be busy with enjoyment. So busy that there is no sleep. There is no time for closing your eyes. You will have places to explore, things to eat, things to go. Every day is a new activity in Jannah. And the beauty of Jannah, when you see something and enjoy it, tomorrow it gets upgraded. The food you eat becomes better the second time you taste it. The wife that you look at, she's beautiful. When you look at her again, she had an upgrade, she had a makeover. Eternally, it's getting better and better and better. And as we said, Jannah, Qiyamah happens on a Friday. And so we enter Jannah on that Saturday, and that will be the biggest party of all. That Saturday would be the biggest party and festival that you would experience, that first Saturday in Jannah. And we will explore and experience Jannah for that week. There are days and nights in Jannah. Until, of course, that first Friday, and we've heard this hadith so many times, where everybody in Jannah, even this man who gets there to be lost, will be called by an adhan. And everybody in Jannah, whether the lowest or the highest, will assemble at the highest place in Jannah. And everyone is sitting there and waiting. What's going to happen now? I didn't think there's Jummah anymore. In Jannah, there's no Salah, by the way. Yeah. Whenever you ask kids, ask, is Jannah, girls ask, is there hijab in Jannah? There's no hijab in Jannah. You can wear what you want. There's no Salah in Jannah. There's no Tahajjud. There's no reciting of Quran in Jannah. The only act of worship you do in Jannah is saying Alhamdulillah. People just instinctively will say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Then there will be a Jummah though. And we said this before. There will be a Jummah. And that's the Jumu'ah when all of the people of Jannah assembles at the highest place in Jannah, beneath the throne of Allah. And Allah Himself will address the people of Jannah. And He will ask them, every week, how have you found Jannah? What was your week like? And every single person will have a private conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then He will say, after all this blessings and pleasures and joys that you had, all the fun that you had in Jannah, the best I'm going to give you, the extra, which no angel has seen, no anbiya has experienced, is for you, O people, to see me, experience me without a veil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that veil, and everybody will get to experience Allah directly. That is why we make tahajjud tonight. That is why we push for that extra half an hour of Quran. That is why when you add 50-50, can I make another donation of 100 rand to this charity? Think about that. Let this be that motivator. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to push through these last few nights of Ramadan, to give it our absolute best. If this is our last Ramadan, let us go out with a bang. Let us in on the absolute high. And may Allah grant for us in our books of decree and Laylatul Qadr to decree only what is beautiful for us, only what is good, to decree goodness for the ummah, and to grant us all Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Just a few announcements. The Qiyamul Layl program that we have the last 10 nights, 8 rakahs, it's 10:20. Just after Taraweeh. Then of course Eid, as we said, could either be Wednesday or Thursday, but inshallah we will be having our annual Mahrajan, cooking of food. And what a wonderful way of showing our appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Eid is to feed someone that's hungry. Every person should try and feed at least one person that's hungry. And so that's why your Zakatul Fitr at the very least, but also additionally you can join in. We are having our Mass Eid Idga or Labarang in the Bukap, which will be in Wales Street, and it will obviously be in solidarity with the people of Palestine as well. And so I know none of you want to come to town when it's Eid, you know, you want to stay at that side. But if you are, inshallah, then please join us for Eid here in Bukab. And then Fitra, as we mentioned, this every single person must pay Fitra, Zakatul Fitr. You and your dependents, 77 rand, it's a head per person. So everyone in your house, even if your wife is hamil, inshallah as well. That's the, and fidya is for the person who cannot fast at all. That's 28 rand per day. Please make sure your fitra and your fidya is given in the next coming days, because we need to get this together to give food to the people, inshallah. Jazakallah, shukran so much. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi sallam ursaleen. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.